Well, we are talking about sticks and stones, and many of us are familiar with that whole phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And there's a lot of aspirational value to that, that we aspire for that to be true, but yet it turns out that that's not very true at all, that the things that people say, they do tend to hurt us, and they hurt us more than the sticks and the stones. That the things that people also do, and they do against us, that hurt us, it's hard. It's hard for us to live with that. And so we've been looking at this series, Sticks and Stones, and taking this approach of saying, hey, how do we live with this thing called forgiveness? What are we supposed to do with that? How do we get through that? How do we make that happen? How do we bring ourselves to that point where we would forgive and we could move on with life? We started this whole thing with looking at this idea of the truth about forgiveness, of just sharing some truths that we just needed to understand, that we can look in God's word and we can discover and make sure that we know, hey, here's some things that are true. And one of those things is forgiveness means it really is over. That whatever the offense is, whatever the hurt is, whatever happened, that when there's forgiveness, it's over. We don't hold on to that anymore. We don't drag it back into the conversation at a later time because it's over if there's really forgiveness. Forgiveness means it really is over. The forgiveness, it's a willful decision, not an emotional dilemma. That is something that we willfully decide, we willfully choose to do. But sometimes we get tripped up with our thinking because we have this thing called emotion that begins to come in and wants to take over and wants to lead, guide, and direct our life. In fact, when it comes to our feelings, they're fighting for the authority over our life. And we can't let our feelings have the authority over our life. It's a willful decision that we make when we decide that we're going to forgive. That forgiveness is something that's required for restoration. That forgiveness doesn't bring restoration. Forgiveness doesn't mean restoration happens. Forgiveness doesn't automate restoration. But without forgiveness, there can be no restoration. And another truth we looked at is that forgiveness is 100% grace-based. It's all based in grace. That there's nothing about how somebody earns it. It's not because there's been a certain amount of time on a calendar that's passed that now all of a sudden, okay, now I can get. It's all grace. And whether we've been on the receiving end of forgiveness or whether we've been on the giving end of it, it is completely based in grace. And so those are things that we looked at the first week as we looked at the truth about forgiveness. Last week, we looked at the God who forgives. That we looked and we said, hey, let's make sure that we can understand. Look in context and understand our Heavenly Father and how He is a forgiving Heavenly Father. And let's make sure we know who He is and what He's up to and what He's offering us. The God who forgives, He pardons us from our past. That whatever it is we've done, however selfish, however hurtful, whatever it is that we were doing, He forgives us. He will pardon us from our past. He offers it to us. We just have to accept it. That the God who forgives, He proved His perfect love for us. That He has this perfect love, this unstoppable love for us. And He proved it. He proved it when He sent His own Son. His one and only Son from heaven, Jesus, and He sent Him to earth to be a sacrifice, to give His life so that yours and my life could be forgiven. That when it comes to our sin, the only way that sin can be forgiven in God's economy is that there has to be lifeblood that pays for the sins, the faults, the wrongs. And God proved His perfect love for us, being a God who would forgive and sending Jesus to pay that price for us. That the God who forgives, He pursues us with a passion. That he pursues us with a passion. And we got to look and see how Jesus was wanting us to understand something about our Heavenly Father. And that our Heavenly Father, He runs when it comes to us. But He's not running from us. He's running to us. We got to look at that last week and unpack that and see what all's up with that. And that the God who forgives, He takes pleasure in our presence. that he takes pleasure in our presence. He longs to be with us. Even though we have so many faults and so many mistakes and we disappoint him, he passionately pursues us. And he takes pleasure in our presence. That when we get to the point where we understand, we get who God is. We get it. We've heard it. We understand it. When we get that, when we get God, then we get forgiveness. Because when we get God, we understand who he is and who his son is and why his son came and that there's a relationship being offered to us. When we get all of that, we get a relationship. And with that relationship, we get forgiveness. So if we get God, we get forgiveness. If we get God, we get and give forgiveness. Because over and over and over, Jesus has taught us that if you've been given forgiveness from your Heavenly Father, then you are to give forgiveness. It is an expectation, not just a desire. It is an expectation that if you are somebody that you are convinced of who Christ is and you have begun a relationship with him, God expects you to forgive. If you're not at that place and you haven't come to discover that and you haven't experienced his forgiveness, God doesn't expect you to forgive. But God desires for you to experience his forgiveness. And once you experience that, then he does expect you to be someone who forgives. Today we're going to talk about the gift of letting go. Now, when I say the gift of letting go, that's one of those things that we kind of hear and go, there's some disconnect there. That doesn't sound like there's a gift when it comes to letting go, because letting go means I'm giving up. Letting go means here's this thing that I had that I no longer had. I'm sacrificed. I'm giving. How is that a gift? Maybe it's a gift to somebody else, but I'm kind of looking out for me. And so where's my gift in all of that? Well, maybe the best way I can explain this is to share with you a little bit of something that took place this last week at our church during our adventure week. And during our adventure week, you might have already heard, Dave was out here earlier sharing a little bit about that, but our theme was amped and being amped up in the way that we would live for God. And so one of the things that we decided that we wanted to do for this week is we wanted to create an amped machine. And so we did. We created this amped machine. And with this amped machine, you could put something in it that seemed a little ordinary and a little common. And you could put that in the machine. And then you push the button and it lets it do its thing. And then you open it up. And it's an amped version of that. Like one night they actually took this sandwich and they put it in there, and then after the machine had done its thing, it was a pretty big sandwich. Well, we were demonstrating this to the kids and they were seeing it and they were like, going, wow, that's cool. And so we got to the end of the night, the very first night, and we were giving away some prizes, and one of the prizes that we gave away was this little Tech Deck skateboard. And the person came up and they were kind of excited. They won this little Tech Deck skateboard, and the hosts were up here and they said, Do you want this, or do you want to put it in the amped machine? And you could hear the kids starting to chant, amp it up, amp it up. And then so they did, and we did this every night. We had this little Tech Deck skateboard one night. We had this little Nerf pistol one night. Another night, we had a small little basketball that a kid could completely hold in their hand, and it was autographed by a professional team that was out here demonstrating basketball with them. And then on the fourth night, we had this little toy bicycle. And each night, we would get to this, we'd give this away, the kid would be up on stage, and it just became routine. They knew that, hey, I've got this, but I could amp it up. But in order for them to amp it up, guess what they had to do? They had to let go. They had to let go, that there was this gift in letting go, that hey, if you would just let go of this and drop it in this machine, then it can amp it up, and you could get something even better. It's the gift of letting go, and they experienced it. And so that little Tech Deck skateboard came out as a longboard. That little Nerf pistol came out as, I didn't even know they made Nerf guns this big. It was like a bazooka Nerf. The thing was almost as tall as the kid himself. that pulled it out. And just to see the look on his face, it was just amazing, priceless. That little handheld basketball with autographs, it came out as an official NBA ball that had the autographs on it. And that little toy bike actually came out as a full-size BMX bike. It was the gift of letting go. If I let go of this, there's a bigger, better gift that's coming. And I am telling you that there is a gift of letting go when it comes to the things that we hold on to because of the hurt and the pain that's come our way because of what people have done to us. That there is a gift of letting go, and the gift is not just a gift to them. There is a gift that comes our way. That there is a gift that we end up giving ourselves when we choose to let go. You know, maybe you've heard of this. I read about this years ago. And it was about people that would go out to capture monkeys out in the jungle. And the way that they would go out and they would capture these monkeys out in the jungle is they would take the coconuts and they would drill a hole in the coconut that was just big enough for them to be able to squeeze their hand into. The monkeys could just squeeze their hand into. But they would, after they drilled that hole, they would stuff it with some treats. Whether it was fruit or something sweet, they would stuff in there. And those monkeys would come along and catch a whiff of that, and they'd go, oh, and they'd reach their hand in there and they'd grab hold of that treat. And they'd go to try to pull their hand out, and that clenched hand could not make it out. And so whether they took these coconuts and they actually anchored them or tied them to a tree, or whether they just left them loose and they're small enough monkeys that they would just be able to chase after them because they're trying to drag this coconut and get away, they would capture them. Because the monkeys were not willing to let go of this treat to even save their lives. They would hold on. They would not let go. They could have had the gift of letting go. And they could have gotten away if they would just let go, but they wouldn't. It's amazing if you go out and YouTube this and to watch some of the videos of these monkeys that are just hysterical, but they just won't let go. See, there's a gift that comes with letting go, and I hope that if you don't understand that yet, by time we finish our time together, I pray that the Spirit of God's going to do a work in your heart, and you're going to see that there's something that you've been missing and that there is an incredible gift when it comes to letting go. I know that forgiveness is one of the hardest things that we can do, but there is a gift in letting go. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to start in the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 43 and see some things that Jesus had to teach. And then we're going to get to Colossians chapter 3. And then near the end of our time, I'm going to get to this contraption over here that you guys are going, what is up with that? You'll have to forgive me for keeping you curious. So, yes, I was jabbing at forgive. Okay, that did not work. All right. Well, Matthew chapter 5, look at this. Verse 43 was where we're going to start. Jesus is talking. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, I'm going to bring a lot of clarity to this. Jesus said, you have heard. He did not say, it is written. He didn't say that because all of what he just said was not written. But it's what they had been hearing over and over and over and over again for decades. They've been hearing this, that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The problem is that the law actually didn't have all of that. That the law did have love your neighbor. But there's nothing about the law. When I'm talking about the law, when he's talking about the law, we're talking about this Old Testament, God's law, how God's people are supposed to live. It's all written out there. And there's nothing in there that is taught that you're supposed to hate your enemies. But yet the religious leaders just tacked that on some point, and it just became the tradition, and now everybody would teach it this way. So Jesus is saying, hey, you've heard it said. You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. to which some of you right now are thinking, huh, I'm actually an overachiever. I pray for those that persecute me. And I pray, God, will you give them what they deserve? And God, I hope you're not through with them yet because I think they deserve a little more. But that's not the kind of praying that Jesus was talking about. He's saying in context, you need to love your enemies. You need to pray for those that persecute you. And he adds a little more context here. He says, in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and good. And he sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? For even corrupt tax collectors do that much. Now, if you don't know this, tax collectors, they were kind of like the way that we might view politicians today. They were kind of the people that nobody could trust, nobody wanted anything to do with, and that's just how they looked at them. And especially these Jewish people. Because see, the Roman government was who was in charge. And so the Roman wanted tax money from the Jewish people. And so the Romans would actually hire other Jewish people to be the tax collectors. And they had their standard, this is what we need to be collecting for the people, from the people, to be able to give to the Roman government. And then they would give them all the authority to collect whatever tax they were going to collect. And a tax collector wouldn't collect just that amount. The Roman government didn't say, here's your salary, here's what we're going to pay you to do this. The Roman government said, hey, you just need to get us what's ours, and then you can take whatever you want to take so that you can make money from doing this as well. And here's some of our soldiers, and you can use them to lean in and force and make them give and pay whatever it is that you say, and we're going to give you authority over that. And so tax collectors, they were not looked very highly upon by these Jewish people. And yet Jesus is saying, listen, even tax collectors love those who love them. Even tax collectors love their friends. But you're to be different. You're to love your enemies. He says, verse 47, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That you are to be complete, even as your Father in heaven is complete. That how he is how we need to strive to be. He's there and he's arrived. And that is how we need to be. But some of us, the hurt, it's too deep. The wound is too fresh. And we can't bring ourselves to love an enemy. Can't bring ourselves to forgive them to where we could even get to the point where, well, we do love them. It's difficult because of the pain and the hurt. Listen, a past hurt isn't obligated to be part of your present. It doesn't have an obligation that it has to stay with you and stick with you, and you just have to are forced to carry this and live with this. It doesn't have to be your story. That a past hurt can truly be a past hurt and not a present one. But in order for it to get to that place, we have to be willing to forgive. And the things that should separate a Christ follower from anybody else is that a Christ follower it should be one who loves even those who are as enemies to them. That we would love them and that we would forgive them. And that we should be set apart. And we're even told that as believers, we should be known by our love for others. And if we're going to love people, we have to forgive people. You know, it's interesting, there's different types of forgiveness and different people that need to be forgiven for different things that have been done. And maybe there's some people in the room here that you've just got one person that you're just, I just can't forgive, I can't bring myself to do that. Maybe there's some others in here that for you, when it comes to everybody else in your life and all other life experiences, you've been able to forgive everyone except yourself. That you've forgiven everybody else of anything that they've done, but for you, you've not been able to forgive yourself for the part, for the role that you played. I even think with a crowd this size that there's a chance that there's some people in this room that you having to forgive yourself looks a little different than how most others have to forgive themselves. That for you, forgiving yourself and finally getting to the point where you'd be willing to forgive yourself, it's because you're more good-natured as a person and you tend to let people take advantage of you. And that you've been taken advantage of one too many times and you haven't been able to forgive yourself for putting yourself in that situation and sticking around and lingering. And you blame yourself. As a pastor, his name's Chuck Swindoll. And Chuck Swindoll said this so much better than what I could. And let me just read this, share this with you. For some of us, the hardest thing we will ever do is to forgive ourselves. The day will come when you will have to forgive yourself for the blindness that put you in the path of the ones who hurt you. See, when it comes to forgiving, it's not always the struggle to forgive others. Sometimes that struggle is to forgive ourselves. I want to look at one last passage with you in Colossians chapter 3. And Paul's writing this. He's writing this to a church. They're already believers. They're convinced of who Jesus is. They're hungry to grow and to be able to live out a life of authentic, genuine faith. And so he's writing to them. And we'll pick this up in verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must clothe yourself. These are the things you got to put on. These are the things you wear around. These are the things that people see in you. And maybe you're here and you look at that and you go, I think I could check off patience, and not so much the others. Because you're being really patient, and you're just not putting on that tenderhearted thing yet. You're just waiting. That whole thing that's about mercy and kindness and humility, you're just being patient. No rush. Don't need to be like that just yet. Well, the patience that we need to be putting on is a patience that's geared toward others. That these are the things we need to put on and do for others. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. That there's going to be faults, and we need to make allowances for those. We leave room for that. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This isn't a should. This is a must. He's writing to anybody who's a believer in the church then, and that applies to anybody who's a believer in the church today. That if you've been forgiven, you must forgive others. And as I think about that and contemplate that, I think there's one thing that causes us to struggle with forgiving others, probably more than anything else. And this thought it's so logical and it makes so much sense. And it's one of those things that once you see it and you think that way, you're like going, well, yeah, hold on. Yeah, we shouldn't. Yeah, I better not forgive, at least not yet. And maybe not ever for that offense. And it's this thing, once you see it, it's like, oh yeah, because you know what? Because there should be consequences. And you know what? I don't mind enforcing a few consequences if I need to, but I can do that. And here, what is that thought? That thought is this. The thought is letting them off the hook. that when we process that, it's like, ugh, no, I can't let them off the hook because of what they've done, and I don't want them to do that to anybody else, and so I cannot let them off the hook. But there's something about that hook that I think most of us have never realized. That most of us have never realized that hook, that hook is our hook. That letting them off the hook is letting them off the hook that we hold. And that if we don't let them off the hook, then that means they're on our hook and we're carrying the burden of that. And what we end up doing in life is we get so used to putting the offense and putting the person on that hook that we just think, well, that's just how life is. That's just how I have to live now. That's the new norm. That's the new standard. That's just how I am. That's life now. And the change, it's slow, and we don't even realize that the burden and the heaviness that we end up carrying. It doesn't even register. It's like, that's just life. And so there's nothing to it. I'm just doing it. I can't let them off the hook. But when you let them off the hook, it really is the gift of letting go. And it's not just a gift that's a gift for them. It is a gift for you. There, when you think about how you've been scammed, and that's being hurt. And somebody intentionally doing something against you, and as long as you don't let them off the hook, that's your weight to bear. But when you forgive and you take that off your hook, that's that much less that you're being burdened in life. But some offenses get a little heavier. You've been cheated. Somebody intentionally went after you and they cheated you, cheated what was rightfully yours. And that's a little bigger burden to bear, and it weighs a little bit more. But if you're willing to forgive and let them off the hook, then it lightens the load in your life. Because this is a gift that you give yourself. Well, here's one bullied. And maybe for you with a crowd that I'm talking to, maybe for you the hardest part about the bullied thing is not so much about having you having been the one that's been bullied, but maybe it's your kids. That your kids have been bullied. And it's hard to let somebody off the hook because of what they've done to your kids. It's hard. That it becomes what? This emotional dilemma. But it's supposed to be a willful decision. And when we choose to forgive that act of bullying and that person who bullied, it lightens our load. This one's even heavier, isn't it? Taken advantage of. That you were in a position and you were the subordinate and you got taken advantage of. They used you. That's hard. It's hard to live with. But as long as it's on your hook, you're living with it. It's when you forgive and you let them off the hook that you free yourself of the burden and you keep lightening your load. Wrongful death. Maybe there's nothing heavier than that one. Whether that wrongful death was somebody intentionally taking somebody else's life, or whether it was negligence. That's difficult. But as long as you're not willing to forgive, they're on your hook. It's your burden that you carry, and if you're willing to forgive, you let them off of the hook. Abused. You know, this one seems to take place more times than not when someone's young and innocent and can't even defend and protect themselves. It's not limited to that. It happens to adults too. It might be something that's verbally based, physically based, maybe even sexually based, abused. That's a lot of burden to bear and a lot to hold on to. And you're not obligated. The pain is not obligated to stay in your present. That pain of that past, if you let go, if you forgive, you don't have to carry that anymore. Abandon. And maybe it was a parent that didn't want to have anything to do with you and they just took off. They didn't even say goodbye. Maybe it was someone that you thought you were in a committed relationship with, and they just bolted. And you've been abandoned. And if you don't forgive, then you carry that and you keep it current. Instead of forgiving and letting them off of the hook, which is your hook. Lied to. Yeah, that's a burden as well. It's not as big, but it's still there. We can lighten our load. And when we look and we see that, yeah, I can be stolen from. And you know what? It's a small amount. There's not much to it. But if you're not willing to let go, then you don't lighten your load. And you begin to look and you see, wow, just how much do we tend to carry? How much of our load could, if we would just be willing to forgive and let them off the hook, which is whose hook? It's our hook. Who are we punishing? Ourselves. And God in his economy, he understood all of this. And so he's telling us, forgive, forgive, forgive. It's the gift of letting go. Releasing bitterness lightens the load in your life. When you release it and you let it go, you forgive and you allow yourself to move on with life without being burdened and dragged down by the things of the past that have been done to you and against you. When you let them off the hook, your hook, it lightens your load. Look at a few more verses with what Paul was teaching the church. He says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Above all these other things, love. Put on love. Because it does. It binds us together. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, he's talking about the body of Christ, those of us who make that decision and say, I choose to believe in Jesus and follow him, we become part of the body of Christ. And so he says, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always, always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Not burdened hearts, but with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That I told you on week one, that we're to represent Christ. And the best way for us to represent Christ is to just keep representing him. Live our lives that we keep representing. How would Jesus do it? What would Jesus do? That we would keep representing that to others. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And when God the Father, your heavenly Father, when he is someone who is known by you because you've begun a relationship with him because of what he has offered to you through his Son, he doesn't just desire you to forgive. He expects you to forgive. That he expects it. And when we pardon those who have caused us pain, no matter how hard it is for us to bring ourselves to that point, when we pardon those who have caused us pain, we receive peace that won't come any other way. See, maybe you've been waiting for some peace to come. And once this peace is here, then you're forgive. I just don't have peace about forgive. I just don't have peace about forgive. When you forgive, the peace will come. When you pardon someone for the pain of your past, then you will receive the peace that won't come any other way. So that's what you need to know. And not only do you need to know it, it's what you need to act on. That don't just walk away from here going, oh, I know some more things. But leave here today differently than what you came. Leave here today lighter than when you came. Because you're willing to experience the gift of letting go. Pardoning someone for the pain of your past and experience a peace that won't come any other way. Pray with me. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be convicting hearts and lives right now. That it would be so clear. And where there is pain just sitting on a hook, God, bring us to the place where we're willing to forgive and let them off the hook, which is our hook. And allow us to experience the gift of letting go. God, I pray that you would be doing the lives of people what only you could do. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.